We all say that we want to let go of fear, but at the same time, we fear that if we do let go of fear, that we're going to miss all those dangers that only fear can point out to us. And we all say that we want to let go of anger, but at the same time, we believe that anger is necessary, that it gives us the motivation to do something about the very things that anger us. And we say that we know that hate is destructive and that we should let go of it. But at the same time, we believe that we need to hang on to it so that the very people and things that provoke our anger and hatred don't get away with what they're doing. And we see that how destructive ambition can be and how it keeps us greedy and always unsatisfied. But at the same time, we believe that it is our drive to make something of ourselves, and that if we gave up ambition, that we would never become anything worthy of love and respect. And this is the fundamental conflict, the fundamental contradiction and suffering that we share as humans across all cultures and across all times. And this fundamental suffering and contradiction and conflict within ourselves is what pushed me to philosophy, to find common answers to common problems. And of course, selfishly and most importantly, to fix these things within myself for myself. And I know we live in a time of your truth, my truth, and where it's almost not even allowed to say that there's only one truth and one reality. But the more I look, the more I find those mutualities, those common truths that seem to be in all cultures at all times. And I am always looking at the commonalities, not at the differences, because the commonalities show what works for all people across all cultures and across all times. And one of the most major and one of the most recent discoveries in this close looking at philosophy and the religions of our world has been to see that all the religions across all times and all the philosophies, the philosophical schools, especially ancient ones in the East and the West, are all talking about vices and virtues. This is not anything that's exclusive to religion, and it's not exclusive to philosophy. It can be seen anywhere. And that's not even the most amazing thing, the most amazing realization, even though no one seems to be talking about it weirdly, has been that all vices are of emotion, and all so-called virtues are of the nature of reason. Greed, envy, lust, sloth are all vices, and at the same time, they're all emotions. Whereas honesty, modesty, prudence, temperance, kindness, justice, all of these things are of reason. There's no emotion in them. And so it's amazing to see that for thousands and thousands of years, all cultures, all religions, all philosophical schools have talked about this. And it's so true to realize that all our struggles, all our regrets, all our suffering has come from the things we have done when we were in the grips of anger, in the grips of fear, in the grips of greed, lust. And we've come to regret every single thing, every time that we've done when we were dominated by these emotions and vices. And that every single thing that we're grateful for, every single thing that we approve of ourselves within ourselves has been things that we have done in reason. In other words, whenever we were of virtue, rather than of vice, whenever we were of awareness, of reason, rather than emotion. It's so amazing to realize whenever we are angry, we are unaware. We're literally not ourselves. Our ancient Stoic friend Seneca says, anger is temporary madness. And it's so true. Look at anyone when they're angry. Look at ourselves when we're angry. We are acting like actual insane people. But it's temporary. You can go on YouTube and see plenty of videos of road rage, for example, right? The way that people act in those times are literally exactly the opposite of what a person with a clear mind of reason, of awareness, of logic would do. And they come to regret it each and every single time. And every single thing that we have ever done that we regret has come from similar situations of anger, fear, greed, lust. And so here another revelation takes place. That whenever we are overcome, whenever we are dominated by emotion, we are unaware. We literally don't know where we are, who we are, when we are, and what we're doing and why we're doing it. We are literally blinded by rage and by fear and all the other vices and all the other emotions. So it's amazing to see that the religions and all the philosophical schools of Greece, for example, have been talking about this for thousands and thousands of years. But what's been lacking has been a reason why to devote oneself, why to truly believe in this, why to take this advice. Because the religions tell us that we should do it to honor God, or to at least not to incur the wrath of God and to be punished with hell and to be rewarded with heaven. But that doesn't click with us, because most of us don't even believe in God. And it's similar with philosophy. The philosophers seem to tell us that we should cut ourselves off from society, that we should leave everything behind, live in the woods, live in the ivory tower, and to make ourselves perfect. But that doesn't click with us either, because it seems, first of all, impossible, and second of all, selfish. And so every time greed knocks at our doors, or anger or fear and anxiety, we give in to it because we don't have the arguments. We don't have the strength to uphold what we know generally is better. But once we see the fundamental difference between vices and virtues, that one is of emotion and the other is of reason, that one is of unawareness and the other is of awareness, we can see that the reason to go with the virtues is so that we can have clarity, so that we can have awareness, so that we don't live a life that passes by without us having hit the record button. Because when we're unaware and things just happen and they pass us by, a whole life passes us by. And people who live a life of that being dominated, being led by emotion blindly, live such an unaware life of which none of it is recorded. And it just passes by in regret and shame and guilt. Whereas people who live with that clarity and that awareness that reason gives, in which emotions are balanced and in check, they not only have a pleasurable, fulfilled life, but they're aware of their life. It doesn't pass them by. A simple example: to be a cheating, deceiving, lying person is a complicated matter. It takes so much energy and so much thought and so much anxiety and so many sleepless nights and so much complexity. Whereas honesty, beside being a virtue and something that supposedly pleases God and all these things, it's just an easier, simpler, better way to live. It's a way of life in which not a single thought needs to be spared of keeping one's story straight. Where in any moment, one can say exactly what one thinks and not worry about a single thing. not worry about being caught up in some lie, and to be inconsistent and to reveal oneself as a liar and cheater and deceiver. No one wants that. And so the particular virtue of honesty, this is why to adhere to it. This is why to live a life according to honesty. And each virtue has these kind of reasons where it's directly impacting and showing up in our own personal experience and just making our life easier, simpler, much more joyous, and much more pleasurable. It is when we're led by emotion that we get into contradictions, that we get into anxiety and worry and fear and regret and guilt and shame. And all of this is so draining. And this is not to deny or suppress emotions. Of course, emotions are real and they're natural and they happen. But you tell me, which one makes more sense? That guilt is an emotion that is simply there to intuitively show us when we're doing something wrong, simply so that we stop doing it, so that we stop injuring ourselves? Or if it's something that's supposed to be carried on for weeks and months and years, which one makes more sense? This is why the emotion of guilt and shame is a part of our nature, to give us an intuitive feeling of immediately, this is wrong, I should stop doing it. It's not there to judge us, to shame us, to make us feel bad as a punishment for the rest of our lives. It is a tool. It is something we can be very thankful for, that we automatically know right from wrong. But it's not something we're supposed to carry with us for years and years after the deed that made us feel guilty and ashamed. And so a life according to virtue, a life according to reason, is not one that denies emotion and suppresses emotion. It is one that carries it no further than its natural intention and its use. And we've been taught that it's a good thing to be so emotional. The more emotional, the better, because it shows that we care, that we're loving. But this is another misconception, and it's the biggest misconception about emotions. The biggest mistake we've ever done about emotions is to include love in the category of emotion. Love, in reality, is not an emotion. Love is actually of reason, because love is not a feeling, it's not an emotion, it's a state of being. And that state of being is peace. And what is peace other than the absence of hate, of anger, of guilt, of shame, of regret, of worry, of anxiety, of vengeance, of jealousy, of hatred? That's peace. The absence of the domination of emotions in our lives is peace. Love doesn't expect anything. Love doesn't shame us. Love doesn't guilt us. Love doesn't ask us to be ambitious to prove something to the world or to it or to ourselves. Love is not jealous. Love does not ask for vengeance. So how can we include it with all these other emotions? This is the only thing that keeps us from letting go of the emotions. That's the misconception, that love is an emotion. Love is on the side of reason. Love is a very rational, very aware, very reasoned state of being. And it's a very reasoned method of acting. And the reason why love has been considered an emotion has therefore been used to advocate to be so emotional and to suffer so much is because love has been confused with care. We think in order to be a loving person, we need to be a caring person. And notice that anything that we care about, we worry about. And anything we care about, we try to protect. and anything we care about, anything that is a danger to what we care about, becomes a reason for us to be anxious, to resent it, to hate it, to be angry because of it, and to fight for it, to have enemies because of it. But to love someone is an internal state, or to love something. It doesn't require any of those outward physical acts and all that fighting. Love never asks for any of that. Care asks for that. And care is an emotion. It hasn't been working. All this trying to become worthy of being loved by showing care and by showing emotions and by being so, so emotional, it hasn't been working. All this anger, all this hating, all this suffering, all this worrying, all this thinking that anger and hatred and fear are necessary things, and even though they're bring very many bad things with them, that they're also necessary and useful, this hasn't been working. So why not give it up? Why not use the logical method of experimentation to see the next time when anger comes up, just as an experiment, as a scientific method, to not go with it, to not think it's necessary, and just as an experiment to see what happens, to do the exact opposite of what it tells us to do? What if we did that just one time? And what if we saw, as a result, that every single thing that we can do with anger, we can do without anger? And in fact, we can even do it better, because we're going to have clarity, reason, logic, awareness on our side this time. How can anger do anything better than the rational, clear, logical, reasoned human mind? Same thing with fear. What if we rejected fear on principle, as a concept, just to see what happens? What if we did the exact opposite of what fear tells us to do? And then once again, we saw that everything we can do with fear, certainly we can do without fear. And so I invite you to give up your anger, your hate, your worrying, your fear, and your resentment, just as an experiment, just one time, and another time, and another time, only if it works the first time, and the second time, and the third time. And to base everything on reason and scientific experimentation, and to see if love is not better than hate, if awareness is not better than unawareness, if clarity is not better than anger and clouded judgment. This is what all the wisest, most amazing people throughout history, for thousands of years, in all cultures, in all religions, in all philosophies, have been trying to tell us. But because we institutionalize everything, everything becomes about money, about power, and we lose the spirit, the essence of these messages. And so for the first time, I invite you to give up what hasn't been working anyway, and to try something new.